listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. We're going out on the phone now to a guest I'm anxious to talk to, Gary Moore, who is an author, an award-winning and critically acclaimed author, as a matter of fact, of a book called Playing with the Enemy, a motivational speaker. Good evening, Gary. How are you?
Cheryl, doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I'm grateful.
Well, and we need to tell folks a little bit of the reasons why we're able to have you on tonight. You had a book signing in Dallas tonight, and Dallas got a little bit of snow and decided they were closing the bookstore and people weren't coming in.
It's bizarre. I'm a Midwesterner. You're a Midwesterner. I'm looking out my hotel window in Dallas right now, and there's probably an inch of snow on the ground, and everything just comes to a complete halt.
When I talked to your publicist earlier today, she told me that, and I'm thinking a couple inches of snow, but I have a lot of relatives in the South, so I know that that means the world stops.
It does. It does. And so and it was my luck. I'm at a hotel that the only thing walking distance from here is a Chinese buffet, and it's not very good. So
I think this has the makings of your next book, Gary.
It does.
Or a B-movie, anyway. the book that we wanted to talk about today, yes. and the title, it'll take me a minute to get the title out. It's called Hey Buddy, In Pursuit of Buddy Holly, My New Buddy John, and My Lost Decade of Music. Let's just start with the title. The book is about a journey getting to know Buddy Holly. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely. The title's actually Hey Buddy, period. But then it has a descriptive sentence after this does, In Pursuit of Buddy Holly, My New Buddy John, and My Lost Decade of Music. So,
I appreciate the clarification.
Oh, no problem, no problem. but it's a story of my kind of journey to learn more about Buddy Holly, which has been really a fascinating journey for me.
And why did you feel the need to get to know more about Buddy Holly? Did you ever meet him when he was alive?
No, I didn't. I was only 4 years old when he died, and I grew up in a rock and roll vacuum. I really didn't know, I didn't know much about rock and roll. When I was a kid, I was in drum and bugle corps, and we played patriotic music and marching music, and as I got older, we played classical and jazz. Then I got into high school band where we didn't play rock music. I went on to get a degree in music education at Vandercook College of Music, where it would be blasphemy to play rock music. So I really grew up knowing very, very little about rock and roll music and virtually nothing about Buddy Holly. But my mother-in-law, she's hipper than I am, obviously, 77 years old, for her 77th birthday, the only thing she wanted was to go to a reenactment of the Winter Dance Party, which was the final tour of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, the Big Bopper. So we took her to this show, and it was great, and it was wonderful, and I was kind of getting my Buddy Holly education, but nothing really struck me until the very last song. John Mueller, the man who did an incredible job of portraying Buddy Holly, said that he was going to end the show with a song that he had written. And it was a song called Hey Buddy, and it was kind of his tribute to Buddy Holly, and I thought it'd be a train wreck. I mean, here we're at this Buddy Holly concert, and now this guy's going to throw something in. But it was the most beautiful and intriguing song I'd ever heard in my life. It captured my heart and imagination and sent me on this journey.
Wow. So what did you discover that you had no idea you'd find? Or what surprised you the most as you got into this, Gary?
Everything. I didn't realize that Buddy Holly really, truly is one of the inventors of rock and roll. I mean, I thought, like most Americans, that rock and roll came across the ocean from Liverpool with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. But yet, John Lennon says that Buddy Holly was really one of his greatest musical inspirations, influences. Paul McCartney said that they started basically as a Buddy Holly tribute band, that they called their band the Beatles because Buddy Holly's band was named the Crickets. Paul says today in an interview that he and John would sit for hours and hours watching this little 45 record go around of That'll Be the Day, trying to figure out how in the world Buddy Holly, with three members of a band at the time, it was guitar, bass, and drums, and the Crickets, how they made that incredible sound. And so, you know, Buddy, with the passage of time, people have this panoramic view now of the events and realize Buddy is really the creator of this genre, not the Beatles. And the Beatles tried to give them credit, but we as Americans wouldn't listen.
No, who's your new buddy, John?
Well, John Mueller is the man who actually owns the name Winter Dance Party now and travels around with his reenactment of the Winter Dance Party. He's an incredible musician and songwriter in his own right. He's very dedicated to promoting Buddy Holly's music. Buddy's widow, Maria Elena, says that John is the closest thing to Buddy she's ever seen. The Buddy Holly family endorses John, and he's an incredible songwriter. He's written the song "Hey Buddy," which inspired the book.
Now the information I got from you says a new twist on the tragic crash that killed Buddy Holly. What is the new twist, or do we have to get the book to see it?
Well, I certainly want you to get the book, but I'll tell you what we're talking about there. The Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens and Big Bopper were killed along with pilot Roger Peterson on what's been dubbed the Day the Music Died, February 3rd, 1959. And in 1959, they didn't have the technology we have today to recreate flights and so on and so forth. So the CAB, which Civil Air Board, which is a predecessor to the NTSB, they were only looking for three things. They wanted to find out if the plane had failed structurally, and they found that it did not. Then they wanted to know if the engine had failed, and they found that it did not. The only other thing they looked at was, did the pilot have drugs or alcohol in his blood? And he did not. So they just said, well, the only thing left is pilot error, and they just brushed off at that. Well, I had an intriguing phone call with Barb Dwyer. Barb is the wife of Jerry Dwyer, who owned the airplane and the flying service that was flying Buddy that night. And she emphatically claims the truth has never been told. They know the truth. They're going to release the truth someday. And the truth is in the wreckage. It's in the wreckage. And they still own the wreckage from that night. And so I contacted the NTSB. They put me in touch with Dick Rodriguez, who had just retired. He was one of their lead investigators. And Dick and I rebuilt that flight, and we give it in great detail exactly what happened from the time the wheels left the ground to the time that it crashed in a way that's never, ever been portrayed before.
Well, I'm certainly intrigued. We've got two or three minutes left, but you talk about it being one of the – well, you said February 3rd marks the anniversary, one of the 100 biggest weather moments. That weather was a piece of this as well?
Well, the Weather Channel calls when they produced a show a few years ago called the 100 Greatest Weather Moments, and Buddy Holly was, I think, number 57, and which was shocking to me. But weather was part of this. Weather was the pilot was not instrument rated, and ended up in a snow squall where the pilot couldn't see anything, and the plane ended up going into a what they call a graveyard spiral, and hit the ground at 170 miles per hour with 90 degree bank. And so the owner of the plane insinuates there was foul play. He said at one point that the pilot was incapacitated, and how he would know that I don't know, but he says the truth is in the wreckage. So we're determined to get our hands on that wreckage and examine it.
And the NTSB, are they reopening the crash investigation?
They will. They've said they will, but they have to have some new piece of evidence, and so that's why we want to see the wreckage. And with this retired NTSB investigator, he can help me get that.
And this is all chronicled in this book, or parts of this.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the book is Hey Buddy, and it's available at bookstores everywhere, or at Amazon. And anybody who wants to learn more about the book or the story, or help us in putting pressure to get this wreckage released by sending a letter. They can do that at heybuddybook.com, no space.
Well, Gary, I appreciate your time this evening. I find it fascinating. I feel like I want to just call you again sometime just to chat with you. You're an interesting person.
Oh, I would love talking. You can call me anytime.
Very good. Well, the next time it's snowy in a city and you're stuck somewhere, we'll call you up on the show and we'll just chat about whatever you're witnessing and experiencing at the time. Gary, I appreciate you being with us, and I hope the rest of your stay in Dallas is successful, and I hope you get your next flight out on time.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Gary. Thank you. We're talking with Gary Moore, author of Hey Buddy. Sounds like a fascinating book. It'd be a good read for a snowstorm, wouldn't it? We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.